we'd like to call you Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree
died to save humanity.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
How many times have you heard someone tell you to wait on the Lord in a situation or circumstance or crisis, and you say, well, I've been waiting on the Lord, and it doesn't seem like the Lord is doing what he said he'll do, hadn't shown up, and I've been crying out. And there are some things that we say that we're doing. We say we're waiting on the Lord, and many times God is waiting on us. But what I want to ask today is, do you really know how to wait on the Lord? I mean, do you really know biblically how to wait on God? What is important about this is the difference between a breakdown and a breakthrough. If you don't know how to wait on God and know that God has said certain things in his word and gives to us certain knowledge so that we can work, wait on him, and know that the wait is worth it, because in the end we're going to get what he has promised to us. If not, then we could be waiting in vain, because we're truly not waiting on God, but rather God is waiting on us. So I want us to share some things from the word. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, very familiar verse of scripture, says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's one of the first promises in the word of God. If you're really waiting on the Lord, he's going to renew your strength. Then they shall mount up with wings as eagles, which means that if you've been knocked down, brought down, or down, after you are strengthened, you are going to get back up. You're going to rise to another level in another place and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint, which means then that you're going to continue the race, receive the fruition of whatever it is that God promised you, or whatever it is that you have stood in agreement with God's word upon, and it's going to come to pass. Walk and not faint means that you are going to end up the victor and not the victim. So important to understand. Definition of wait: to be available or in readiness. Now, we say we're waiting on the Lord. The question is, are we really available to God to do what God wants us to do? Because, see, you can say you're waiting on God, but if you're not ready to move when God says move, if you're not ready to do what God says do, then that means you are not available to God. Amen. See, just because you're sitting down don't mean you're waiting. All right. Amen. Just because you're inactive doesn't mean you're waiting. It could mean you're lazy. All right. It could mean you just don't want to do no more right now. It don't mean you're really waiting on God. It says in readiness. So if you're waiting on God, it's like, God, I'm waiting for your call. It's like firemen and paramedics. I mean, they're at their place, and they are at all times ready to answer the call. Now, they don't walk around in the firehouse with their uniforms on all day, saying, I'm just waiting for the fire to start. No, they are prepared to quickly jump into their uniforms, jump into the fire engine, or into the ambulance, or to that EMS unit, and go, because they are ready for the call. See, when you're waiting on God, there must be a sense of readiness. No matter when the call comes, I'm ready because I'm waiting. All right, it means to remain neglected for a time. Now, this is interesting because what we don't understand is waiting on God means, wait, I'm going to get back with you. So if I'm waiting on it, that means he may be doing some other things, taking care of some other things. Listen to this. Sometimes he has to neglect you as though it feels for him to work out the other stuff connected and concerning you. So sometimes you can't be no big baby whining because he ain't giving you attention 24/7 because he's working on the rest of the stuff for you. And if you know he's working on the rest of the stuff for you, if he happens to let you there and let you be quiet for just a moment, know that that neglect as we see it is worthy of him neglecting you only because you know in the end and when time is ready and in the fullness of time, when he comes back to you, things are going to be better than they ever could have been without him and without you waiting on him. Another thing, to postpone or delay something or to be postponed or delayed. Now, I love this because, again, when we're waiting on God, we know things can be postponed or delayed, but sometimes we may be postponed or delayed. Now, that's interesting because what many times the devil uses against us when we're waiting on God is God has forsaken you because he may have postponed us or delayed the answer or the manifestation of the answer to our prayer. And so because he didn't come when we wanted him to, when he didn't work it out like we thought he would in the time we thought he would, because he delayed us the answer or the breakthrough or the healing or the deliverance, we feel again that he has forsaken us. So far from the truth. I want you to see again, to look forward to eagerly. See, another thing about waiting on the Lord is while you are waiting, you're also looking forward eagerly. In other words, you don't become depressed and sad and sorrowful and start having your pity party because the Lord didn't do this when you thought he should have or because he neglected you for a moment and was handling your business and yet you should have felt like he should have been holding your hand while he handled your business. But if you trust him and you wait upon him eagerly with anticipation as to his return so that when he does show back up, you'll know every moment you have waited on him will be well worth the wait. See, that's how you've got to wait on God. Because if you're not waiting on him like that, it suggests that you don't really trust him, you don't really believe him, and you're not really expecting him to do what you're waiting on him to do. All right, so look at this, because I want us to see this. The last one is to continue as one is in expectation of. If I'm waiting on God, I'm going to do my part, and I'm doing my part. And if my part brings me to a place where I am at a standstill, I am still at that place as one who is in expectation of. I'm continuing my readiness. I'm continuing my waiting. I'm not going to get ahead of him. I'm not going to get to the point where I say, well, God, maybe you just want me to do this myself, so I'm going to do it my own way, as in Abraham and Sarah. I mean, I can think of many biblical references to share with you of people who couldn't wait on the Lord, even though God had promised them something. Well, when you can't wait on him, what you're saying to him is, God, I know better than you, and this time is better than later. But what you don't understand is all the other things God sees at the same time. And God is not going to give to us things that will harm us or hurt us or that we are not prepared to handle when he gives it to us. And so when he gives you something, you can best know he's checked out. It's the right time. The devil will give you something that's good for you, but that you can't handle it good at that time. Why? Because he knows you'll squander it, mess it up, etc., and then blame God for it. You know, I mean, it's kind of like an adult must know when not to give a child something, even though the child may not know all of the dangers connected with it. And if you just listen to the whining and the crying and submit to that child and the child hurts, authorities and everybody else, and if that child's got a little bit of sense, will know, well, you're the adult. Why you let me have it then? Amen. You know it wasn't good for me. Just so God is like that. He loves us enough not to let us have our own way. He loves us enough not to give us what we cannot handle right now. So that's important to understand it. You've got to position yourself. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You see, we got to get off of that looking at other folk when God has made us a promise about something he promised us. If he's promised somebody else, that's God and them. Their season may be very different from my season. Their course may be different from my course. What I've got to realize is God is committed to me and my course. God is committed to my season and me. And so I can't judge my season by somebody else's seasons. Nor can I judge my prosperity by somebody else's prosperity. Because I don't know if they've gotten the stuff they've gotten the right way. I don't know if God's blessed them with, just because folk got stuff don't mean they're blessed. Did you hear what I just said? Just because folk got stuff don't really mean that they are blessed. It means they got stuff. That's what it means. And if the stuff didn't come from the Lord, can I tell you, they ain't blessed. Because the Bible says in Psalm 73, it's like having their hands on a slippery pole where it's going to slip right down and right out of their hands. Don't get yourself all mixed up and torn up because of the person who does prosper in his way, and that way is not the godly way. Psalm 46:10 says, be still. My God, don't you remember that when you were a child? Mama, big mama, grandmama, my dear, be still. Old folk don't like you to just mess up and, you know, just burn unnecessary energy. You won't need that energy one day. They look like, Lord, I remember all that wasted energy I used to. Sit down, boy. Sit down. You know, be still. Listen to this. And know that I am God. See, the reason why you can't sit still is because you don't know the God that you surrender and submit to is in control of your situation. Why are you going to fight, and why are you going to argue, and why are you going to cry and whine and do all the rest of this when God has got this thing fixed? See, you can be still, save your energy, rest yourself up, get yourself together for the best that's yet to come, and not be worn out when it comes because you know how to be still and know that God is God. And listen, he will be exalted among the heathen. In other words, he's going to have the last word. When it's all said and done, God's going to be exalted. It's going to be God and nobody else, nothing else. I will be exalted not only in the spiritual realm, but in the earth realm. So don't limit God to just the spiritual realm. Don't think that it's got to be just in the spiritual or in the supernatural realm. God works in this natural realm as well. And when you know him and know his word, then you can be still and just put it in his hands. Listen to this. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. See, when you've got God's word, you've got God's will, you've got God's will, you've got God's way. You have to hold God, listen at this, responsible to back up his word, not your word, not what one says about his word, but his word. Now, when you make God accountable to his word, he says, put me in remembrance of my word. In other words, God wants to know that you know what he said, because he knows what he said. And when you know what he says, then he's able to make what he says come to pass in your faith-filled life. So it's important for you to recognize when he says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. How many times has man made a promise to you he hadn't kept? I don't care if it was mama, daddy, sister, brother, husband, wife, friend, or foe. They may have intended to keep it. They may have had good intentions, but situations came up, circumstances came up, and they could not continue in or perform that they promised. But here's what you got to know. When you trust God for his word, the record is clear that my expectation is from him. Now, because I expect God to do what he said he'll do, he may choose to use human personalities to bring it through. But my expectation is from him. There are just some things I expect God to do that He's not going to do in a supernatural way that comes directly from heaven to me. In other words, if I've got money needs and I sow money, I have a right for a money harvest, correct? Amen. Is God going to open up heaven and rain down pennies, nickels, dollars, quarters, what I need financially? That's not the way He operates, is it? So if He's going to do it, how is He going to do it then? He's going to do it through human personality. When you look at Luke 6:38, give, comma, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men, mankind, the human personalities and vessels that He uses to bring His word to fruition. So God, I'm expecting You to do it. And now, this is what I got to realize. As I expect God to do it, I can't hold Him to how I think He should do it. Because He can use some people I don't even know. Or He could use the person I'd least expect it would be done through. So I can't limit God. And so God touches their heart and says, listen, I want to bless you. I'm like, oh, that's all right, keep it. I don't want it. And then you go praying, now, Lord, You told me You was going to have it for me by this day, and I ain't got it. Well, God said, well, wait, no, hold up. I did give it to you. When did You say, God, I've been praying and looking? No, I sent the person You didn't like to give it to me, and because You couldn't see me in that person. Oh, y'all not hearing me here. You missed your blessing because you were looking for God to do it in some great supernatural way that was different from your thinking. So listen at this, my brothers and sisters. If your expectation is from God, let Him do it and stop trying to order or design how He's going to do it. Listen, Habakkuk 3:18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. This word salvation is twofold. It not only means saving of the soul, but it also means deliverance of the body or the natural realm. So there are some things that God, He's already delivered my soul, saved my soul. But how many of us know that there are some things in the natural realm we need some deliverance from, we need some saving from? God is able to do that. So what's good about this word is that we get to know that whether it's in the supernatural realm or in the natural realm, God is able to do the saving in both arenas. And that's wonderful because we don't limit God to just one arena. We don't put Him in just one way or one place. But here is the thing. You've got to position yourself in a place of expectation. You've got to position yourself with a readiness of mind. God, whenever you say, I'm ready to go, it's like the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. Both of them, all 10 of them were virgins, but five of them didn't have their act together. They were expecting the Lord to come at a reasonable time, doing normal business hours. Some of y'all are going to catch that when you wake up. That means I want God to do it when I think it ought to be done. God, this is usually the parameter or time frame that you do certain things in, and so I'm expecting You to come during this time. Now, the Lord had already given them and already told them to be prepared. You don't know when the bridegroom cometh. But they are trying to lock God into their thinking, into their mode of operation, and so when He doesn't show up in that way, they lose out, because when the bridegroom shows up in the midnight hours, there is no store open for them to buy oil so that they can make the journey to the place of marriage. And so what I'm trying to tell somebody is, don't lock God into your thinking patterns. God's got so much to work with. God has so much He can do whenever He wants to do it, how He wants to do it. All He wants you to do is be ready when He does it. And so you've got to get yourself in a position of readiness. Tell your neighbor, stay ready. If you're waiting on God, nah. If you're waiting on God, stay ready. Because He may pull up any moment and holler, bump, bump, let's go. And you can't be hollering, Lord, wait a minute. Let me get up and go do this and do the other and all this. Let me wake up. You got to be ready to go, be informing everybody. Now, listen, as soon as the Lord pull up, I'm going to let you know I'm about to get on up out of here now. Get them all informed, everybody ready. You're going to wait till He comes to start doing all of that. Next thing is you got to practice His principles. Psalm 37:34 again says, Wait on the Lord and keep his way. That's his principles. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. You've got to practice the principles of God and not pattern yourselves behind the wicked of the world. You see, you can't expect to be successful in supernatural things if you're following the pattern of man, of this world, of the wicked, of the weak. You've got to realize that if you're going to wait on the Lord, you've got to keep his way, which means to practice his principles. It may not make sense to the logical thinking patterns of man. It may not make sense to what your experience may have been in the natural. It may not make sense to what others think you ought to be doing or how you feel or what they feel. But if God said it, that ought to make it clear whether it makes sense to you or not, because he knows so much more than you know. And see, that's where trusting him comes in. God, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't see this. I can't begin to fathom how this thing is going to work out. But you told me to trust you, and I'm obeying your word. And God is then put under warrant to back up his word, whether it makes sense to you or not. Your part is to practice his principles. Amen. Practice his principles. I mean, how many things do we operate in now that we don't even know how it really works, other than a simple reality? You flip the switch, if you paid your light bills, your light bulbs are working, the power comes on, you got light. That's right. Beyond that, how many of us can honestly explain what in technical terms happens when you flip the switch between here and the power center that powers this building that get light? How many of you can honestly explain in detail what happens? I mean, we got a general idea of what happens, but in technical terms, can you really explain every part of what happens when you flip that switch? Okay, if you can't explain when you flip it up, then can you explain it when you flip it down? See, one way or the other, you still can't explain it. So why do you try and put God in the box of trying to understand everything he does when he said, just trust me? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You don't get to the life until you recognize he's the truth. You don't get to the truth until you realize he's the way. Because each one is in what's called a progressive order. When you get to realize he is the way, then you know that he's going to tell you the truth, and the truth is going to lead to life. But you can't get to part three till you get to part two, and you can't get to part two till you get to part one. And with God, it's trusting him. And sometimes trusting him means waiting on him. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I had that one up already. All right. Okay, Matthew 6:33. You know this very familiar verse of scripture. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? The things that you've practiced in his principles. They're going to be added to you. See, once you start learning how to operate in the principles, you have no problem then with expecting God to do what he said do. Amen. See, the reason why a lot of us don't know how to go to God and ask God and then get directions from God, and then once we get the directions, obey the directions or the instructions, is because we don't even understand how to seek him and put him first and trust him and then watch all the things that he has said come to pass happen in our lives. You see, God does things according to his own word. That's why we perish, because we have a lack of this knowledge. And then, listen, a lack of knowledge, listen at this well, is not just not knowing, but not knowing and doing. Because some knowledge will never come to fruition until it's practiced. Are you listening to me? In other words, you really won't understand it fully until you actually experience it, until it comes to life, until you see it happen in your own life. Yeah, you may have the concept of it. Maybe you may understand the workings of it, but you really don't want to have the experience of it until you actually do it. And then that brings you to a whole nother level of understanding. And then once it's happened one time, man, you on your way then. Because what he did once, how many of you know he'll do again and again and again and again? Because that's his word. That's his will. That's his way. And so then you begin to walk in it more authoritatively, boldly, Because you know what he has said, and you know not only what he has said, but you have done what he has said, and you have seen the outcome, the fruition, the manifestation. So now the next time you do it with authority. First time you did kind of obedience. You knew what you were supposed to expect, but you didn't know what to expect. But you did it. But then when you got what you expected, you say, this works. And then you do it again. And then you do it deliberately this time. You're not doing it shy and shame and scarily. You're doing it with authority. Amen. And see, that's when the devil takes notice of you. Because then when you surrender to God, you got to submit to God. You can't even begin to resist the devil until you submit to God, surrender to him. And then you resist the devil, and then the devil will flee from you. You got to always realize God's got an answer for your every situation, your every issue, your every circumstance. Matthew 22 and 37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. See, when you begin to love God like this, you will have no problem with his word or his will or his way or practicing his principles, because love is going to be the motivating force to make you do what you do. And what you get from doing that is going to be lanyap. Lanyap. It's going to be something extra, because the real reason you did it was because of what? Love. Because of love. Amen. The benefits that came as a result of the actual doing it was just an added benefit. Even if you didn't get anything out of it, because he said do it, would have been reason enough because you love him. Right. How many times have you done stuff for loved ones that didn't make no sense to you? That's right. But you did it because you... Well, maybe y'all don't love your loved ones. Maybe you don't understand, because that's mighty weak. Love make you do some things that you just normally would not do. And then you're going in another direction, Reverend Thomas. And then when you recognize that love, listen, because of that same power and that same medium, you get an immediate benefit because you love them. Anything that comes as a result of doing that good to them is just extra. That's right. And that's how God wants to do it. You know, God doesn't want us just to be like some genie to him. We only go to him when we need something. You know, we pray to him only when we have a shortage or a circumstance or a situation, a problem or an illness or whatever. God wants us to call him up and say, I just called to say I love you. God, I just want to thank, I was thinking of your goodness to me. I'm not asking you for anything now. I just want to say thank you. And as a matter of fact, as I was counting my blessings, I realized that the only ones I really thanked you for were the ones I was conscious of. But you've done some stuff for me I don't even know nothing about.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5.